Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with my Faith and Freedom Show, where I talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Today is a rebroadcast of a show that I did as guest host on Tom Cryer's Truth Attack radio show on, of course, this Frank Talk 104.3 FM station. It's very intellectual. It's very important for you, by the way, to assimilate into your thought processes. Seriously, folks, your prosperity and security depend upon your due diligence and, of course, ever vigilance to ensure that we retain a government of law rather than of mere vicious, corrupt, and degenerate men. Tell your friends to tune in to this broadcast. You can take some notes and, of course, give us a call at 888-850-1872 or contact me via my website at faithfreedoms.org, and you and I can discuss this offline for your edification. Again, in Virginia, what they were asking for was declaratory and injunctive relief. What a declaratory relief is, hey, declare what the law is. Explain what the law is here. We have a disagreement. Virginia thinks that the United States has no authority to impose a declaration upon its people, the people of Virginia, that they've got to go out and buy something. So that's the opinion of Virginia. The United States apparently thinks that they can come up with a federal welfare benefit program for health care, for their medical services, and impose it upon people. And so Virginia is in a disagreement. So are they asking the United States, another branch of a United States government, to consider the law? What is the law, and what does the Constitution say? So that's what they want. They also want injunctive relief, would be to have the court tell the executive department that they can't enforce some portion of the legislation. Here I'm going to go to this alternative thing. They wanted essentially the United States court to say that it is outside the authority given in the United States Constitution to allow Congress to impose upon anybody that they go out and buy something. They said, alternatively, the Commonwealth contends that the minimum essential coverage provision, this is the, they call it in quotes, they gave individual mandate, is in direct conflict with Virginia Code, with a statute called Virginia Healthcare Freedom Act, and is thus, it implicates the 10th Amendment provisions, that the United States can't do that which is the state's bailiwick. As part of the relief sought, the Commonwealth also requests prohibitory injunctive relief barring the United States government from enforcing the minimum essential coverage provision within its territorial. A lot of people go to courts and say, here, court, take over. Determine what the law is and all of a sudden act as if you've got the total power in this case. What's supposed to happen, folks, is we're not supposed to be laying everything on the lap of a court and say, please do everything for us. What happens when you do that is the court starts acting outside of what their responsibility is, and we have all kinds of catastrophe that gets imposed from that point on. And what we'll find here in this ruling that came out today is that the U.S. District Court, Eastern Virginia, determined that they were going to declare that that individual mandate is outside the authority given and granted by the United States Constitution. So it has no effect. So they basically said, no, we're not going to issue an injunction, because when we declare what the law is, we presume that those who are supposed to enforce the law will take note of what we've said and will not enforce it. But you know what? Because there are separate boundaries, there are separate parts of the government, the executive, especially when they're wanting cash, that there's nothing stopping them from trying to enforce this requirement. Now, the court can say, hey, you guys are violating the Constitution. But they can say, yeah, but we're in partnership with this certain majority that was in Congress during this short period, and we're trying to institute global socialism. And this is just part of the step-by-step progression in taking over the planet. So we're going to enforce it. So they can do it. And then what you would have to do, it falls back in your lap, because now you're the one who's going to have to implement something. You would have to vote them out of office, give them a pink slip or whatever it is you might want to do. In fact, you could put Congress people in office, and they could come up with a statute that would bind the United States president to act a certain way, in fact, make it against the law for him to do otherwise. And then, like Andrew Johnson way back when, they could impeach him over it. So there's all these little things, but most people don't think about these boundaries and the limits that each party can take. You know, there's certain responsibilities on the people, on the United States, and the states. It's in the Constitution, you read about it. Now, I know this is kind of heady. And this is, again, our opportunity to allow people to kill brain cells and burn calories while they're sitting in their car listening to Frank Talk 104.3 FM. And now I'm going to go down to another page in this decision by the court, because I put in my notes that I'm supposed to go down to page 3 and read the first part. This is really what was going on in the courtroom. I think it's really interesting. So you guys have a parallel case going on in Florida. And the judge in the U.S. District Court up in Pensacola determined that this was something that the Attorney General of Florida had standing, and that this was something unprecedented. Probably that it was probable that the United States did not have the authority to impose this upon people. And that would go contrary to a federal judge's ruling in Michigan, a much less experienced federal judge, by the way. So let's just read what's going on in Virginia just to see what may be happening in a neighborhood near you. The judge in Virginia said the present procedural posture of this case is best summarized by the penultimate paragraph of this penultimate. That's interesting. Never seen that before. Of this court's memorandum opinion denying the defendant's motion to dismiss. While this case raises a host of complex constitutional issues, all seem to distill to the single question of whether or not Congress has the power to regulate and tax a citizen's decision not to participate in interstate commerce. How about this? A citizen's decision to not participate in Social Security as an insurance program. Let's step back and realize that they have not forced anybody to participate in it. Neither the United States Supreme Court nor any circuit court of appeals has squarely addressed this issue. Nor reported case from any federal appellate court has extended the Commerce Clause or Tax Clause to include the regulation of a person's decision not to purchase a product, notwithstanding its effect on interstate commerce. And this statement by this Virginia court months ago, was influential in what happened just, I think, in September in Florida, in Pensacola, because Judge Vinson up in Pensacola actually cited this, some of the things that were going on in the Virginia deliberations. Succinctly stated, the Commonwealth, that's Virginia's, constitutional challenge has three distinct facets. When you hear this Commerce Clause, I know this is heady, this is almost like going to school, but it's good for you. It's actually healthy. It's like a workout. Go out and play tennis. You know, you feel kind of painful later, but oh man, next time you go out to play tennis, you're feeling good. You're looking good too. First, the Commonwealth contends that the minimum essential coverage provision and affiliated penalty, yes, penalty, not tax, are beyond the outer limits. Do not adjust your dial, are beyond the outer limits of the Commerce Clause and associated necessary and proper clauses measured by the U.S. Supreme Court precedent. More specifically, Virginia argues that requiring an otherwise unwilling individual, I always like to say person, to purchase a good or service from a private vendor is beyond the boundaries of Congressional Commerce Clause power. The Commonwealth maintains that the failure or refusal of its citizens to elect to purchase health insurance is not economic activity historically subject to federal regulation under the Commerce Clause. Currently, we're on page 4 of this judge's decision. I do want to take this editorial opportunity to point out. Last time I stood in for Tom Cryer, we had a caller's name. It's Mark Hankins, actually. So many of you know him. He called and I listened to the show afterward. I listened to his comments and he brought up something about what's happening in California. And he said, you know, these guys had a contract. They had a contract. This was part of their pay. They made an agreement that they would do the following thing and later this stuff would be available to them. Well, you know, it was a contract, but you forgot to put in the contract to make sure that somebody, as a part of your pay, went ahead and bought a gold coin and stuck it in a hole someplace for you. What they were doing, they were most likely what the federal government is doing with your Social Security money, is they're loaning it to themselves. It's called embezzlement. I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. Oh, we're borrowing it and we're going to give it to you later. No, how do you give it to you later when it's gone? You spent the money. You don't have it. It's called embezzlement. So what you're seeing, just like in California, even with the, it didn't matter whether it's a union or non-union, is that people are making promises to pay later, anticipating that they would be essentially milking somebody else to pay you. And so what we are seeing is a natural consequence of infidelity. That's what it is. When you have a Ponzi scheme of the Social Security program, where you're acting outside what you ought to be doing, you're actually instituting a mechanism of love, you know, charity. The very term charity is love. It's supposed to be something you do. We used to have community chest funds. Give to the community chest. They didn't force everybody to give to the community chest. They said, give to the community chest, and those who were needy would come by and get it. Now, this is nothing new under the sun. This has been going on for hundreds of years. Even in the study of the commentaries of common law that our founders were reading, there was this comment where people started complaining because vagabonds were hanging around in front of the church and sucking up all this charity. And I don't know, maybe people were jealous or something like that. So they wanted the police state, the civil government, to police these vagabonds and start regulating welfare instead of allowing the church to love their neighbor, notwithstanding their worthiness of it. You know, if you go to the Bible, it says in there that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And we're generally, as mankind, we're sort of depraved, so it doesn't make sense to us. To us, it's you've got to use this police power to fix people. I got an example. The other last couple of weeks, I've been doing referee at the YMCA. When I'm there, there's some people that step in that haven't paid, but they sneak into the game. And I don't know all these guys. You know, I don't recognize these people, but they sneak into the game. And we figured it out. Like somebody came up and said, hey, that guy in the keeper, he hasn't paid to play. He's not on the roster. Of course, when you ask him, he says, yeah, I'm not on the roster, and he had to leave. Later, I get another kid out there playing. You know what he's doing? I asked him all the appropriate questions. He lies to me. And then, of course, somebody pointed out that we figured it out. The guy wasn't on the roster, so he shouldn't be out there. So this is what the guy who runs the program said. We're going to check everybody's ID when they come in the door. So they're going to do a police state on everybody else and punish those who are forthright in good faith operating in life and honest, because there's some people who are depraved. And I say the best thing to do, I asked him to not institute the Gestapo state in the YMCA. I mean, that's ridiculous. But that's the kind of mentality we have if we think on a depraved mindset, that we don't have mercy. We're going to want to love justice, but also mercy. And we're going to change people's lives. But what's happening is we're actually creating a new God to watch over us, to take care of all of our welfare, to manage a funding stream, to make sure everybody's doctor bill's paid for. You know, there's some people, in fact, probably tomorrow we're going to be going over some of the new statutes and bills that are being put before the Florida legislature. And there's these bills to make sure that people who do things that are very unnatural and reap the consequence, the diseases that come from it, they want to make sure that those consequential-driven activities are covered under their medical insurance. So there's a bill to make sure that insurance companies in Florida can't exclude certain diseases that are choice driven. What we're supposed to be talking about before I went on my rabbit trail was this decision that came out today in Virginia, United States District Court of Eastern Virginia. And we're going to be quoting some things that the judge said, and we're even going to be quoting from McCulloch versus Maryland. And I'm going to tell you where the famous quote by McCulloch versus Maryland famous court case is actually dysfunctional.